Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your love today once again as we gather. We thank you, Lord, for your watching over us, Lord, in this time of the crisis that we have in Singapore, Lord. We continue, Lord, to ask for your grace to be poured upon us, Father, and keep us, Lord, at this time. And keep everyone, Lord, especially the young ones, from all this affliction that has been going around in this part of the world. And we pray also, Father, that you help us to treasure and care for the very temple of the Spirit of living God, our body being that fire that you live in us. We pray, Lord, that we remain as we ought to be, as a child of God, walking in the light, and knowing how that we should serve thee, Lord, in this body. We thank you, Father, for this day. Bless us now, Father, as we approach thy word. May you again, Father, upon our heart to receive, Lord. And may the Lord we have the revelation of thy Spirit, of thy word, Lord, as thou feed us in this hour of time. Seeing that, Lord, we are so close to the return of our Lord and Savior, for the very elect that he has shed his blood for, Lord. We ask for your grace now, in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Alright, now we just go straight to our laptop and the virgins. All those virgins, they have been sleeping and they woke up and they heard a cry. Now, let me just say a few things right here. You know, since 1903, 1909, when this Pentecostal oil was poured out, when the people, when this Christian, they were seeking for some power, some answer from the Lord as to why the church is so weak in their faith. And of course, by the time when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they got the answer because, you know, the church died practically when they go into traditions. And when a church or any system, any Christian, they build themselves up into a system and go into a traditional form of worship, they became powerless in the hands of God. So this Christian that came out and looked for the power of God, when they received the Holy Ghost baptism and received that oil, they came to the revelation. And that revelation, as we said, is the revelation that there is one God and His name one. And when they came to realize that, then they have a different, revelation from what they had when they were in the denomination or the thought that they had when they were in the system. So when you have the true revelation, your outlook becomes different. You see what God wants you to see. You're no longer seeing things that, you know, denomination actually wants you to see. But you know, when they have this oil and the message they begin to broadcast and the Holy Spirit will pour out, the message went forward was to come and get oil, come and get oil. You know, and there was no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit being speaking in tongues. There was no such thing as a doctrine that comes up to say that, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to show that you have it is that you must speak in tongues. There was never such a thing until 1915 when the church began to become, you know, groups and here and there became and longer hate with one another, so to speak. Every little one have certain thought, you know, and come to their own imagination. You know what happened today even in this message? There are a lot of people in Israel that they can sit down and hear what Brother Branham said, and then they have a segment of the imagination. Oh, this is what Brother Branham meant. You know that, don't you? You heard what he said. Oh, yeah, he's going to come back. And running on the white horse, he's going to come back and have a revival. He's going to have a tent meeting. You know what they have, right? They have all this segment of imagination. And then there are others that have friendly imagination. Oh, Brother Branham was the new name of Jesus Christ. And who was he? He was the Lord. You see, this is where the problem is. Every time there was a revival, the devil quickly took the advantage. He comes in and begin to move around some men. And then because they were not watchful, the devil came upon them, you know, and began to deceive them. And that's how the devil sold tares in the beginning. He carried the sold tares to some men, when in the early days of Nicholas, the son of Nicolaitan. Remember all that, you can see that they are Paul there, the Alexander Hymenus began to oppose Paul. Showing all these thoughts, all these feet, all this false doctrine. So when we see this, that it takes about a decade. Then when the church, when you can see fraction began to come, schisms came around, and then you begin to have this oneness, this Jesus only, the UPC, the Pilgrim of Holiness, and the various groups begin to fall. And that's how this time when you went to sleep. After a while, you know, you get a little tired, and you begin to have all this weariness come upon you. After having there, of course, then the night gets a bit darker as you go into to meet the bridegroom. You get a little weary because you seem to be tiring. After all, people, when they receive the Holy Ghost at that time, they thought, well, Christ is in the car. Maybe a few years down the road. But it didn't come to pass. So they went to sleep. And that's when denomination began to form. And on the sleep, how long did they sleep before they heard the message, the cry? Well, the cry came in 1956, 54, 55. 56 around that time. But most people like to take around 56 because that was when you hear Brother Branham speak tremendously and give out that cry, you see, the denominations is wrong, and how that you have formed into a system, come out that God no intent, God did not intend this to be. Mend the denomination. You see. And he preached against all these false doctrines, telling them to wake up, coming up to come back to the original. Back to the world, back to Pentecost, back to the absolute. That was the cry. Really spoken, really cried out in 1956. So when it was in 1925 now, we are there. And when the bridegroom tells you, they all slumber in verse 5 and they slap. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold the bridegroom cometh, hurry up to meet him. Now I say it is that the new, your King James Version, you have the word, go you out to meet him. That's a wrong translation. What other translation would translate as come out to meet him? Because the bridegroom is on the outside, it's never written. It's never written, virgin, right? If he is written virgin, he would tell the virgin to go out to meet him. But then therefore he would not be having a messenger then. How could he be a messenger? He's right in the midst of the virgin. You understand that now? This is a parable that you want to see. How it is presented to us. Are you understanding it? The translation is, come out to meet him. Now, when the virgin awoke, when then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. Now we want to look a little bit careful today about this oil lamp. Now, you see, first of all, this, if you go back, give an example, I said this before. If you go back to the day when God first called Abraham. Abraham, he lived in a city in Ur of Chaldees, which is in the region of the Mesopotamian. Well, if you know at that time, Babylonian Empire hasn't yet existed. Huh? But just imagine for a moment now, when God called him out from that region must be very bad. People must be worshipping idols. There must be a lot of people that worship stone statues. And you know the story, even how some of Abraham's descendants, they also keep some of these, pieces of stone, And they worship these stones, how they carve it out of wood or whatever. So now, when God told Abraham, they said, come out of your kindred time. Leave your family, leave your kindred family, take your own family, leave your kindred kind, your brother, your sister, leave them. And I will show you a place to go. Now, you know how far wood of paddy is? You know how far that really is? From where Canaan land is today? Now, you have, of course, the Mesopotamian Euphrates and the Tigris, and wood of paddy is somewhere near to Iraq today. Now, if God called Abraham to come up, he did not say, come out, just perhaps 100 kilometers away. It won't be safe. When God called him to come out, he took him thousands of kilometers away to a land called Canaan. Right? Now what happened was that he, just like Israel, when God took Israel out as a people, he formed them away from all the other religions. He gave them a unique religion, so to speak, as God presently appeared himself to Abraham. But not assuming that since, if God wanted to give Abraham a good land, I think the best land in the today, to know to many archaeologists, is the land of Shinar. People said Mesopotamian Basin is known as the Fertile Crescent. This is called the Fertile Crescent. The Fertile Crescent. And a lot of people believe that was Eden. That was the Garden of Eden or Eden. Now, the land of Shinar is very flat, very nice. That's why later on you find Nimrod built that tower of Babel near Babylon, and that's where people could see for miles when you go away, they could look back and see the tower. That's the purpose of what Nimrod was doing. So now if you have a good land, the best land is a good place. Well watered, and irrigated water, and you could actually live a comfortable life. Meadows, green pastures, you can have your sheep and your cattle, and you can plant your corns and your maize or whatever, your wheat. It could have just been the plain of Shinar. Why not just bring Abraham to the plain of Shinar? If you want to get out of some place, you better get far away. The same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. When Lot and his wife was in there, when the angels came and told Lot, get out and don't look back. Run as far away as you can. But if you want to look back, you tend to be near, you can be swallowed up. And that's what Lot's wife was, swallowed up with salt, as the city of Gomorrah grows up. So now if you do not want to move away, the tendency is an empire is going to build on it. Is that right? Now, of course, you did Iraq war, and of course, now the Arabs are a little afraid. I know that they would be, because the Middle East, there are Arab countries there. And now they are afraid, and the next step that U.S. might do is to destroy Syria, and then maybe Egypt, and then maybe Iran or Libya, and all these others. Oh, of course, they are afraid. So now, if you want to get out from a country, and if you know that country is wicked, anti-God or whatever, and God tells you get out as far away as you can. If you step foot nearby somewhere, you will be swallowed up easily. And that's the problem with the message that God gave throughout every church age. When God gave a message, instead of coming out and really move along, then let tradition swallow them up. So if you are wise, keep away from tradition. That's true. Keep away from tradition. Traditional church is going to eat you up. You see that? That's the reason why if any ministers, if they are called of God, they should never, never try to go into traditional or Christian theology and try to learn from them. You have to let God deal with your mind. Keep away as far as you can. Huh? Because what? It is just like Israel when they went to war during the day of Joshua, and there was in the battle, and there was one man called Achan. Now he should not be taking what was not supposed to be taken, that goodly Babylonian garment. He had a curse thing. Just try to take one tradition, and you find that you'll be accursed. Because God, in Him, there is no darkness, there is no tradition. Do you understand this now? How important it is. So because of that, you know, when this wise virgin going forward to look for the coming of the Lord, there was this all waiting for the coming of the Lord, that, you know, the bridegroom tarry after a while, and slowly they began to form into schism. And they were trapped in that. They're trapped in that system. You know, when you are serving, you're part of it. Though you may have your lamp burning, but you know, that's why I say when white people are trying to endorse, I don't endorse a denomination. I don't endorse it. Huh? God has left His name, God has removed His name from there, from those places. Every denomination, each of these denominations, God didn't form it. God did not ordain this denomination. They formed it themselves. And they have it according to their own program, but not in God. So when they went to sleep, this went to sleep. Well, they slept for quite a long time, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but definitely they slept for a long time. And that's why when you went out with a lamb vessel that contains oil, you go out to meet someone. And by the time when you wake up, after you slept, you find that the oil has gone down very low. That means that you must have slept a long, long time. Remember, the virgin went out when the sun set, then take the lamb went out. Is that right? Huh? The sun already set and the moon had probably come out into the world. Now this was about midnight, so probably about 5-6 hours they were. Huh? They're sleeping. Say 5 hours. Let's say they travel for 1 hour and they get tired and that's another 5 hours. So you know you kept the lamp burning for 5 hours, that oil is going to go down. Is that not right? Let's look at this lamb, because we need to look at the lamb a little closer once again, in case many of you have forgotten how the lamb is supposed to be and what the lamb speak of. Now, we have the lamb, ancient lamb, you have it's either made of clay or made of brass or bronze metal. And it has a wick that sticks out at the spout. And inside there, of course, is the oil. And on the end of the wick, of course, you strike a match and you have a little burning lighter. Now, the lamb, you know what the lamb signifies here? The wise virgin carried this lamb. The lamb represents them being a vessel of God. Right? And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a life force. It is the very life of God Himself. The very essence of presence of life. If you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, you don't have the life. When we talk about the life, we're talking about the real spiritual life. The life that is God in us. You got it? Alright. So now what does the light at the end of this lamp represent? The wick. The which there is a lamp. The light that burns at the end of the wick. The wick. Now, this lamp here represents the light of truth. Now if you have the Spirit of God in you, your life must light up, showing the very virtue of God, showing the very character of God, showing the light that is God in you. Now one thing for sure, you must have that. You understand that? Now it is not you trying to do good, it is God in you expressing Himself. It is not like a Buddhist monk. The Buddhist monk, sure, you know how they live their life to look very pious, very holy, in the saffron robe, alright? And perhaps every day in the morning, or they light some candle or some joss sticks, and they go tok 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 tok, and then yeah, rumble or foot or whatever. You know what, they go through their chanting very regularly, they carry themselves around their neck, those beads, like rosary. You know, that is to let them remember how to pray and chant, and every one of those rosary, they move around with it just like a rosary. It's a traditional thing that so that when they pass through an area, they know what to mumble. Huh? Prayer is not a mumble. Sometimes we mumble a lot to God. And just many of you do that, too. We mumble a lot in our prayer, you know, when we eat the food, you ask the Lord the best of us. And there we go. God, you know, it's not something that you remember. It's something that is from your heart. Do you see how different it is when you go into a traditional thing? Anyone can just preaching, telling people to say the Lord's Prayer. Now, Father, we can have a healthy life. And as if that is the way we should be praying and say that. But that's only a guy in the house that the Lord said this is the way you should pray, the way that you should approach God. Right? First, the Father, then others, then you. I always use it in simple form as J-O-Y, joy. First, talk to the Lord, Jesus, and then you talk to about others. Pray for others, then lastly, pray for yourself. But more, and if you don't do that, most of the time, if you pray for ourselves, me, you know, and it's always come to a me, mumble. And at the end, you come in so dry. The light at the end of this land shows the light of truth that you possess, that you have. It will burn accordingly to the oil that is put inside. And it smells according to the oil that is in the vessel. Now, if you, of course, you know, kerosene lamp smells terrible, yeah? Coconut oil lamp smells coconut. If you go to India, you know, you get on the plane, you get, whoa! The atmosphere of India is spices and oil and coconut oil. It's very peculiar in that particular, in that whole country. You go to a restaurant, you smell coconut oil practically everywhere. Cinnamon and all those, you know, spices that they have. But olive oil has a certain different smell. Now today, you go around selling aromatherapy. Huh? Selling all these essential oils. Getting people to feel good. Huh? But some of these, all this perfume, you know, is a fake. Some of them are really perfume in the car, actually mock bacteria. And you don't know, it just smells so good. And you take a deep breath, you smell all the bacteria into your body. Huh? Because all those are perfume are not the real stuff in mask. And that's the reason why it's a multi-million dollar business for women who like to smell good and men spray here and that, and they don't shower, just spray. You know, these are not the real thing. It's a cover-up. You know, the light is not a cover-up. The light will tell you what you are, and the smell will tell you what you are. You try to spray yourself after a while, people smell the clothes and they can smell you stink. They can detect two different odors. Yes! Don't tell me you don't. If you have bad odors in your body, try to spray and let somebody else smell around you. They say, hey, I can smell good. After a while, you smell up closer, you smell that. And that's a lot of cover-up in a lot of religion. In Christianity, there's a lot of cover-up. In certain religion, a lot of cover-up. You wanted to make other people look good at you. Hey, brother, sister, don't act to look good. Right? Don't act to look good. It's God working in your life. You're not trying to act good. There are a lot of priests that act good. A lot of Buddhist monk or this Hindu or this priest. They are not good, but if they have something closer, there are corruption. But I'm saying the same thing also in the Protestant church. Even if I'm saying message, a lot of priests are corrupt. Yes or no? We have known all these cases. Because why? First of all, there was never truly a baptism of the Holy Ghost in many of these people. Huh? They want fame and fortune. And in Christianity, it's such a commercialized thing now. Preacher go out there, preach and get money, earn money. And they will have millions of dollars in their bank account. What with the money? When Jesus told the apostles, when you go out, take no back with you. Take no money back with you. Right? Channel for tomorrow. But if what you have, if you have the true revelation, then you will burn right. The light will show its color. Right, man? Okay, so this light at the end of this, it shows the light of truth that you possess. Not the oil represents the Spirit of God, but there is one thing that siphons this oil, and that's the wick. You know what this wick is made out? It's actually made out of either cloth or very fine porous material that actually draws the oil up by some kind of osmosis thing, you know? Some kind of, I don't know what you call that, by osmosis or whatever it is, molecule movement, and you draw the oil up to the end of the wick. What is that called? A capillary action. That's why I'm looking for that. No. Capillary action, yes. I lost Mrs. Wrong with that. So it's thrown by capillary action, it just moved up and it'll fit the light. Now, this wick therefore represents one thing. It's our understanding of the Word of God. It's our, the revelation of the Word that we have, and therefore is shown by the light that comes out. So this capillary, this wick, if we don't have a wick, you can never have a light. If you don't have a revelation, how do you show the light? Huh? So now, the lamp, you are the vessel. That the oil, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Okay? Now, you have within you a certain revelation that God has given you. And God wants to show the revelation of the truth, the understanding of Him that He showed to you, revealing you. He wants to show that, and therefore at the end, that uniqueness with. And then the light is lit up in your life. So that's the purpose of carrying a lamp. You are the lamp. You are the vessel. As a holy, as a virgin, you have that. Well, every one of Christian, every Christian out there in the denomination, they say they are vessel of God and they are the Lamb. But just watch the light. How do you watch the light? How do you watch the light? By their fruit, you shall know them. What fruit is he talking about now? Now you and I know we have dealt with this before. How do you know a wolf, when he comes in sheep's clothing, as Jesus said? When a wolf in sheep's clothing comes into the midst of the sheep, how does anyone, any sheep, know that this is a wolf in sheep's clothing? Huh? It's not his own tailor, he has one sheep's skin zipped up under the wolf skin, all look like a ram sheep. Walk like a sheep. Behave like a sheep. How do you know then that this is not a sheep? That's the thing, how do you know this is not a sheep? Out of abundance of heart the mouth speaketh, and that's just when you know it. Otherwise the action, everybody can eat it. Now, you see young people, you know, how they want to imitate, what, who this guy, Michael Jackson, not the moonwalk, and I don't know how you walk. Right? Well, you know, a lot of people, young girls and young boys, they hear certain pop song, and they like the pop song, they try to imitate the singer. Right or not? You see, it's a lot of impersonation. Everybody likes to impersonate others, imitate others. Why don't you be an original? Huh? Why don't you be an original? Shouldn't we all be original? Instead of acting like some crazy guy up there with this big boom, a pombo, yeah. And everybody wants to be hip, you know what I mean? And act like somebody. You see, what happened to a lot of young people today in our country? Black hair. Chinese are more. Chinese Caucasian. Where do you get that? Chinese Caucasian. It's not that his father is Chinese and the mother is a Caucasian, you know. There is a different thing. There's American Asian. There is an American. But you know, pure Chinese and the hair is brown, yellow, and red, and blue, and green. You see what I'm talking about? And then they go around putting rings in your nose and ears and lips and everything in your tongue. Where are they from? It's from America, you know that? Stop aping there, man. Don't stop aping the West. Yeah, man. How are you, man? I mean, you see how people like, I mean, young people think it's fun. Yes, I know. But I know young people behave like this. But you know, it's a phase that you go through. I understand because I was a teenager once. But you know, when you grow up, and I know that you're a Christian, think seriously. When I became a Christian, I think seriously, you know. I was 6 years. I didn't know because I was in a mess. I didn't think much about it. Like you out there in denomination. You think it's okay, you know, the way that they go about it. Now, you can see some of my photographs. I was really, you know, something. You know, but I was in denomination. But when you are here as a believer now, we should think soberly. You know what I mean? We should think soberly now. You may be 15, 16 years old, 17, 18 years old, 20 years old. Now, I'm at this age now. Let me think sober. I'm a Christian. Where am I going? Where am I going? You see? What is my relationship with God? I can tell you one thing. The world is in the condition today. As Bob Lamb said so many times, you know about the squeeze that comes upon the church. Not only that, he talks about when the world is more in sin. Huh? And he says, this is testing time by sin. The devil is going to put you so much on pressure until you blow. And that's what he's going to do. Anyway, we're going to a state that I can tell you one thing, you will weep. If you ever realize how much God loves you. Huh? So be an original. Be an original. Don't be an imitator. Now, when we look at this, this oil, do you know that the oil is so important that if we have it right, the right kind of oil, then we will smell right in the nostril of God. Now, when we look at the Bible right here, it says here, then all of them arose and trimmed their lamp. Well, they have slept for so long. When they woke up, well, the light at the end of this lamp or the spout where the wick sticks out, the light goes dim. And when they start to trim, because they need to trim because the wick at the end of it has built up soot, black soot on it. Huh? Okay. Now you know in tabernacle Moses, the priest has always make sure that they trim the lamb in the tabernacle. Huh? They have a small little snuff box. Remember that? Alright, to trim it so that they could collect those snuff box. In the snuff box, they just don't throw it away anyhow. So that the area of the holy place always is bright, not dim. So just imagine that our life, this witch that comes out of the lamb and is found there in the light, if it goes dim, you tell him that this the witch has become, it's blackened, it has soot has built on it. and you need to trim it, remove those soot, so that the light could be brighter. Now what does this soot mean? What do you need to trim? This soot, now they have been sleeping there for so long. Remember, they went to sleep. Since the years, well, 10 years after that, the Holy Ghost baptism was poured out in 1915 or so, or 1913 was when you get all this, this good spinning out and all, they went to an ism, they went to sleep in the system. So when the midnight cry came in 56, oh, many of them woke up. Many of those in Pentecostal, that's why God sent this messenger to the church world first through the Pentecostal. Why was it not in the Baptist? Because Baptists wouldn't understand much. Because after all, they have been sleeping in Baptist church for so long. You know that, don't you? Yeah. When I was young, I used to read a book, a lot of horror books. I have a collection of horror books, you know. All about ghouls and Dracula, vampire, werewolf, and all such, you know. And that one goes out. After I realized, you know, I waste my time on it. But I used to read them, and in fact, I go into mythology and study all these legends. You know, Dracula, when he sleeps in a coffin, he's so comfortable. He won't want to exchange for another coffin. He's always in the same coffin. Then you wonder, say, when you say, let the dead lie. You know, let them be comfortable. Just don't disturb them. Don't wake up the dead. They are comfortable. They sleep so comfortably, they don't want to change anything. Like some of us, when we sleep in a certain pillow for so many years, we just love that pillow. Is that alright? Yes or no? Yes. Same thing when you're a child, when you're young, once, probably, you know, if you have a teddy bear or a doll, you hold it, and you, from the time when you are 1 year old, you know, you've been holding that in your hand, the milk has spilled it out, and you regurgitate onto that rag doll or the teddy bear, and your mom washes it off as much as you can. It smells good still, you know, that smell. And then when you grow up to 4 or 5 years old, mom says, this is going to be thrown now. It smells good. You keep on hugging on to it because you just love it. Human beings are like that. They just have a comfort zone so much, they wouldn't want to change. You're not experiencing it. I'm not lying. Even clothing. Don't serve the person, the more that you wear, the more you get bored of it. Even though you have little holes here and there, you just patch it up because you just feel so comfortable. It seems to fit so well. And people are just like that. They go to sleep, the Baptist thing, but some probably can't stick to that kind of denomination. God doesn't want him to die, he can't. So God has to send him first to the people that have the earth. Do you understand that? You must have the people that have the earth. Not those in the Lutheran, not those in the Baptist, the Baptist. No, it's impossible. Because they don't have their own. Now you tell this to the pastor, then they say, you're speaking lying. We have yours. So what kind of oil did you have? What kind of oil did you have? You have a form of traditional oil. Maybe so you speak in tongues, so what then? You have good fruit, so what then? But what kind of fruit are we talking about then? Are we talking about the oil? The oil must produce the right kind of a fruit. And that's what it is, by your fruit you shall know that it's not what you see of the person's life. That's a secondary thing. Do you understand that? Huh? It's a secondary thing. The fruit that you see is not with the eye. It's what you hear with your ear. So how do you know a wolf is a wolf in sheep's clothing? It comes in a mile, some one of you may be here, maybe a wolf, or I know. Alright, assuming, huh? Maybe I'm a wolf. I'm in sheep's clothing now. How do you know me? I'm going to say I'm a wolf. Hmm? But you know yet, you cannot say how the wolf is a wolf then. Now you look at all this, in denomination we know, because we don't think so much about them anymore, because you know God is dealing with us. You see all these denomination ministers, they all look so good. They say they are men of God, servants of God, fine, yes they are, okay, they are, they say they are, we don't want to argue with them, that they are not. Huh? But by the fruit we shall know them, we know because why? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when one, all the sheep will know, of course there is a wolf, when that creature opens his mouth to speak. Because when he opens his mouth to speak, he doesn't go forth and bad, like a sheep. Isn't it so? That's why I say, a kitten cannot be a lion. Kitten. First of all, like a lion, look at him, meow, he's a stupid guy. Because he will be, he can only meow. No matter how, you can never. In cartoon, you can see. In cartoon, yes, a cat can suddenly roar like a lion. But it's impossible. You don't get a wolf in sheep's clothing to open a mouth and bah! Is it called bleed, is it? Bleed like a sheep. You will to open all you will come out, what do you call it, roar? What is, huh? Growl. It's a wolf. You cannot change that. That's the normal out abundance of the heart. Jesus always pointed to heart. By their fruit, Jesus has shown, know that. For out abundance of the heart, the mouth begins from the heart. It's not from your actions. I'm so good, you know. You know how good their people can behave? You see that every Sunday. I hope it's not with you. Sunday you come to church, all so good. When you are back home out of this fellowship, you are just different. Is that so? Think about it. The oil that is in us comes out in the light. And there is a smell. Remember? Even all the prayer of the saints smells good in God's nostrils. So as our life. So now, when you look at this, they all these virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamp. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of the oil, for our lamp are going out. Now that's what should be. Are going out, not gone out. They haven't really gone out yet. In a sense, gone out is a bad translation. Alright? I think King James, New King James, NIV and some other translations says, are going out. Which is the right translation. But you have friend of mine who just stick to this. Go out, this no more. Huh? Go ye out. They say, go ye out, not come out. And then when they say, oh, they took no oil, they don't have oil. Nobody is that foolish to read the passage with the anointing of God that God has put on you to deny those things as the way the scripture lets you to see. Nobody goes out and taking a land that is empty, without oil, without light. Nobody. Nobody takes a torchlight out to go out without batteries inside. Nobody. Nobody does that. What good is a torchlight without a battery? Huh? What good is an oil lamp without oil? And don't tell me the foolish are so foolish as to be so foolish. They are foolish is one thing without carrying extra oil, but don't tell me they are foolish more than foolish as completely taking an empty oil lamp. And I think the more I think that some of these brethren are even more foolish than these foolish people, than the one that is outside in the denomination. The denomination knows what the Bible is talking about here in the way they present, but no, they don't see the revelation of it. You're following me on this, don't you? Huh? So now, the Bible said that the priest says, our lambs are going out. And the next verse says, but the wise answered, no, so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. You know, this is one thing, as I said this before. What we see in this parable, we must learn to understand what the Lord Jesus is projecting this to show you. No, the Bible said, we all must love one another. Yes or no? Sending up? Sending. God must love one another, right? Yes or no? Yes. Love one another. Shut, right? No? Which goes is, if I don't have, you have, you try to share with me, right? But here is one thing that you do not share. There is one thing here about your oil that you cannot share. Well, obviously it cannot be shared because this oil is given by only one person. He points to you. Alright? When He points to you, you don't point out to somebody else. Because this is life that He has given to you. You alone. And that father brother who wants life must step in from the same source, the life giver. Huh? Do you see that? Each individual person must get the oil from the life giver, the oil giver, themselves, or himself or herself. Every one of us must do it. So that's, you know why the wife says, no, we can't give it to you. If we give it to you, there'll be not enough for us. Why don't you just go out and buy from those who sell oil? Huh? Sure. Now I'm talking about people who sell oil. You know, God has sell of oil in this earth. That's how He pour, how He give it to you, how He sell it to you. Do you buy with money? No. That's why God put messengers, or ministers, so to speak, not messengers, merchant, oil seller on this earth that sells oil. Real oil. And there are other merchants that sell not the real oil. What kind of oil is in the vessel here? In this oil lamp? Olive oil. If you look into some of the Greek translation, all this Bible, they just put olive oil, all the time. It's olive oil inside here. Huh? And there are a lot of people, a lot of oil merchants on this earth. Go and buy from those who sell. Not a foolish one. Come on and try. Because of all, the lamp is going to go up and probably will not last 10, 15 minutes. Hmm? Now, they are nearer the town, maybe, more than the distance is nearer to the town than to the bridegroom's coming. Though the forerunner was already, had already arrived, and had given the sound, the message, come out of her! Come out! Immediately. So now all these wise, they get up, they trim their lamp, the foolish trim their lamp, but all this trimming is to show that because they have been sitting too long in denomination, in the system, that their character changed completely and their light begins to dim. Huh? So if we as Christians, if we don't trim our lamp regularly, what the Bible says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. In the United States, it's like, watch and pray, watch and pray. Why do we do that? If you go, your light's going to grow dim. Huh? And when you go dim, there's soot that's built upon it. And that your life, you know, you get, this is all kinds of soot. You get error in doctrine. You begin to, when you're sitting in a system, that's what the foolish virgin and wise virgin were, they were caught in a system. And then they will have all that false doctrine piled up on their, they're weak. Oh, and then maybe their character may be very slight. No longer burning bright. And so they wake up the truth. They say, okay, now I realize I've been mixing with this oneness, no oneness is not the true doctrine. They start trimming it off. Huh? Giving the Jesus only oneness, trim it off. And then we go back all of a sudden into all this system, okay, now water baptism, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost is okay. Now that's not true. Let's trim it off. We get too compassion, we just say, oh, God will do. You know what? Or maybe I spoke in tongue and I got this and I got that and trim it off. Some of the traditional thing that comes in the church. That's the way to do things, that's the way to do things when you begin to build all up to trim that off. Alright, when I start to trim that off, fine. But let me begin to grow a little now, but the foolish is our light's going out. That's really bad. We don't have oil. Because that shows that their revelation is limited, it's going to be stifled. Their revelation is stifled because they don't have that oil. When you get the oil, remember one thing. You know, you can recall, when you first came into this message, and you came into that oneness of the Godhead, and you will be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, because all of you were baptized in the Trinity of sprinkled with water, and then you know your revelations. But that revelation trigger you out. And then you begin to speak more of the Spirit. You keep on going. That's the reason why the because the bridegroom tarry. And Tanya says that great people do that. But the foolish, when they got a Holy Ghost baptism, they say, yes, there's one God, water baptism is one. You know, after a while, they just think that's about all that we have. Then they have a sensation, then they have a gift of prophecy. And they say, well, we don't need any more of that. You know, they don't have the desire to keep on going and receiving. Now you have what you have today now. If the Lord were to tell it 10 years from now, tell you another 10 years, and if you don't continue to gather and assemble ourselves together, huh? And you are not watchful and careful, what will happen to you? What will happen to your oil? Your oil is going to go out. It's a thing that is kept alive. As much as the wick draws the oil by temporary action, it's going to drain off the oil. It's alive. You live the life by what you take in. And you know that as long as the oil is being used up, you need to continue putting more oil as you look to the Lord. You know, because many people don't do that. And that's the reason why the foolish virgin are just like that. No, they walked up with that, knowing that the oil went down, so they don't have the oil. What they have to do? They have to go and buy. Now, they went to buy from who? Oil merchants. These oil merchants are of many a kind. Isn't that right? Hmm? There are all kinds of oil merchants. There are some that sell olive oil, some sell coconut oil. Though coconut oil perhaps not very common in Israel. Huh? In Israel, the most common is just olive oil. But in Asia, especially in India, coconut oil is abundant. Olive oil, you're very scared. Right? Why cannot? Here in Singapore we have, because we don't have oil, we don't have resources, so we import all kinds of oil to sell. And so we have all kinds of preachers, all kinds of oil merchants that sell all kinds of oil. Right? Some sell coconut oil, some sell vegetable oil, corn oil, peanut oil, olive oil, many a kind. Soybean oil, sure. You see, the oil merchant had a charismatic, he's had a charismatic oil. Come on, speak in tongue now, speak in tongue now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Alright. The Baptist. Oh Lord our God. You know that thing that is someone that is sick? That's the kind of oil you should have. That's what they sell. That's alright. Well, you have the Orthodox, you have the Anglican, perhaps come out of the church with this traditional pot, a brazen pot of incense swinging around, huh? The Catholics should do that also. And then, oh, very somber! The Catholic oil, very somber! You can only go, you know how those big choir, you know how the music in the background? And then the Pope will come out, the priest will come out. Huh? And then the priest will say something and the audience will repeat it. Is that right? You know that, don't you? Yes. Those who are, you are ex-Catholic, you know that. They will say, and then they will say something else. And everybody feels so good, and when they make the sound of Christ, everybody makes the sound of Christ. That's the oil they are selling. Huh? Is this the oil do you want? There are all kinds of oil sellers. And so this priest went there and back. In the middle of the night, midnight, everybody wants to sleep already. Went to a grocery store. Wake up, Oymerson! Oymerson said, what do you want? You know what time it is now? I'm sleeping, go away. No, this is very important. Please open up, we need oil. He came down and okay, you want oil? Okay, well, have oil. We have. And he did some oil and give it to them. Do you like it? It's coconut. That ain't no good. That's not good. You know, that was not the kind of oil that you want. They went to another place, no, they realize that only one kind of oil would do. Though all oil look kind of same, but when they light it, it smells different. One cup says you want a peanut oil, the other one says the vegetable oil, and they came on looking for the kind of oil that they need. They couldn't find it. You know, in the end time message, there are a lot of oil merchants in the end time message. They don't sell the right kind of oil too. And that's the reason why they are fully virgin. Many of them are still out here in this end time message. There are people moving one place to another. One, hey, look, in Singapore is one classic case. Right up, right, John? Ah, Joe. Here in Singapore is a classic example. An island only of 4 million people. And look at the amount of frictions and schisms and preachers and oil merchants that sell all kinds of oil. Huh? Oil of the book, of the spoken word book of Brother Branham. Oil. I mean, you can take anything to become oil. You can take the word of the Pope to be oil. You can take the word of a gospel preacher to be oil. You can take anybody's word to be oil. But they are not the oil of God. The oil of God is personally according to the very scripture that was given to us from the very beginning. Huh? The scripture, the 66th book, even the prophet himself said, check it out with this. And this is given by inspiration. That's the oil. That's it. That's the word that comes out. That's the oil that when it's lit, it smells right. Is that right? That's the kind of oil. Now when a man stands and preaches, when the oil merchant sells it, when he takes the oil and he gives it out the way that it was, according to the scripture, then the one who buys it, when he hears that, it smells right. And that's the one that God will be pleasing. That's the kind of oil. Well, you know what happened. By the time they bought it was too late. Just too late. We'll stop here and continue next week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your grace, Lord, we look to. We know, Father, your love towards us now and how that your Spirit works in our lives, opening our eyes, Lord, to see the things that have been hid, Lord, for thousands of years. But you will reveal all these things to your people, Lord. To those that are yours, such those that will learn, those that are vague and yearn for the life of the Father in them. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to enlighten us, to feed us, and continue, Lord, to fill up our vessel, Lord, with our oil. And Lord, if we continue, Lord Jesus, to light up the light in this end time now. And Lord, we are not here to please any man. We are not here, Lord, to please father, mother, son or daughters, or neighbors, or brother or sister. Lord, we are here to please you, Lord. But I have said that this individual one must have a special relationship with you. And you said, my sheep hear my voice. And every sheep must hear that voice. And we know, Lord, that the sheep that are yours follow the shepherd's voice, your voice. And therefore, Lord, we, as individual now, we are thankful, Lord, for this revelation that thou hast given us now. And as we walk, Lord, our light be brightened in this world of darkness, Lord, that this curtain of heavy darkness now that seems to fall upon the whole world. And there is uncertainty, Lord God, in every nation now. And we pray, Father, that you bless and keep us in your hand. We pray not only for ourselves, but for everyone that is in this truth, Lord, around the world. We know there will be a few scattered here and there in different parts of the world. But when the time comes, Father, when you make up the bride, with those that rise from the dead, there will be millions, Lord, that will stand before you. We ask for your blessing now. And thank you once again, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.